Divine Providence 125. These angelic truths are stated here in order that it may be understood how the divine providence of the Lord operates to unite man to himself and himself to man. This operation does not act upon any particular of man separately, but upon all things at the same time, and is effected from the inmost of man and from his ultimates at the same time. The inmost of man is his life's love. His ultimates are what reside in the external of his thought, and intermediates are what reside in the internal of his thought. It has been shown in the foregoing numbers what the nature of these is in a wicked man, and from these considerations it is again made clear that the Lord cannot act from inmost things and ultimates at the same time except together with man, for in ultimates man and the Lord are together. Therefore, as man acts in ultimates, which are matters of his choice, because they are within the scope of his freedom, so the Lord acts from his inmost things and in the things ranging in series to his ultimates. What the inmost things of man contain, and what is present in the series from the inmost things to the ultimates, are totally unknown to man, and man is therefore quite unaware of how the Lord operates and what he accomplishes there. But as those things are linked together as one with the ultimates, man needs not know more than he should shun evils as sins and look to the Lord. In this and in no other way can his life's love, which by birth is infernal, be removed by the Lord, and a heavenly life's love be implanted in its place.
I mean, that what I wrote down around that, which was 125, I think is where the thought came, but how that it's this reciprocal relationship that works into this. So as the Lord acting in ultimates, in one sense, is when a person shuns evils as sins from the word, like, because that is the Lord acting, but the person is doing it as of themselves. And that brings about this. So there has to be this activity on our part in order for the changes to come, because that activity actually renders a change that has to be adjusted to right down to the very core, from where the Lord flows in right out, has to change in order to accommodate that change. So I found that really helpful. The other idea that I found really helpful that has implications for being in logopraxis is the idea that angels think from ends. So it struck me as I was reading that, and it kind of fits in with this, that to think from ends is really to understand that everybody is in process, that what you're looking at is merely a step along the way. So if you're thinking from effects, which is the other end, thinking the wrong way around, then you are much more subject to falling into judging others because of moral or civil or whatever external behaviors that don't fit within your criteria of what constitutes good behavior. Whereas if you think from ends, you are much more likely to be a lot more merciful in viewing what a person is experiencing as they move through a process toward an end, as opposed to putting them in a box when you're thinking from effects and writing them off. Like it kind of, there's something in there about that anyway. Like I said, I haven't thought it right through yet, but I do see it in some of the principles in logopraxis, which is it's really about focusing on what the word is doing in your life and leaving what the word is doing in other people's lives to the Lord and them. But drawing just universal principles out if we can to share with each other.